Grab your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 18, please. Genesis chapter 18. And when you find that, could you, if you'd stand, please, out of respect to the scriptures, we're going to read verses 20 through 33 responsively. So Genesis chapter 18, and then stand with me, please. We're going to start in verse 20, and then you can join me on verse 21, and we'll read every other verse together. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the places for all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am I best in ashes? Peradventure they shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for the lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again, and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for his sake. And he said unto him, O let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall be 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it, if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not show it for 20's sake. And he said, O let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. Let's pray. Dear and Father, Lord, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for everything you've given us, Lord, for this great country and the liberties that you've provided us with, Lord. I pray we never take it for granted, Lord, not only the liberties we have here, but the liberties we have spiritually through the blood you shed for us, God. I pray that we would be tuned into what you've given to our preacher, Lord. We pray that you bless him and your spirit be upon him, Lord. I pray you bless this service in this day in your name. Amen.
You may be seated. I am preaching more or less a patriotic or maybe a 4th of July message, as I generally do. And I want to start out by saying this. I'm not a preacher of doom and gloom. I'm not even a Christian of doom and gloom. And maybe parts of this particular message may seem a little bit gloomy, if you will, but the truth of the matter is I do believe that we can see some great things happen in America. So I just want you to zoom in this morning. I want to say this as well. I do believe in our great United States of America. But I am, however, as a preacher of the gospel, I am concerned. I'm concerned about the direction that she's going. I mean, I'm 41 years old and holding, if you will, and I've seen a lot, if you will, in these 41 years. Those of you who have lived longer than I, you can say you've even seen more. You can go back to the early years or the old days, if you will, as some would say, and you can go ahead and compare back to the old days, 100 years ago, if you will. Some could do that, or not quite that, but 80, 90 years ago to today, and you can see a lot of different changes in this great country of ours. But I want to preach to you on the subject this morning, can America be saved? If I go by my reasoning, okay, and which is nothing, but if I go by my reasoning, I would say that it'd be very difficult to see America saved. But I will say this, that we serve a God of the impossible. There's nothing wrong with America, and I said it earlier, there's nothing wrong with this great country of ours that God cannot fix. And there's nothing wrong with this great country of ours that God's people, if we would go ahead and bow the knee, get our hearts right, and be obedient to him, again, it would be amazing to see what God would do for this great country. Here in our text, I see a comparison of old Sodom and Gomorrah to this great nation of ours, if you will, today. I see quite a comparison. In our text, we see God heard the cry from Sodom and Gomorrah, and it burdened him, the Bible says. He was very heavy, the scripture says, because of their sin. It was grievous to him, and it was burdensome. It was heavy on the Lord. He saw its filthiness. He saw its sex sins. He saw the premarital sex, and he saw the kind of lifestyle, if it feels good, do it kind of life, and he saw the adultery and the fornication and a place that was godless and didn't care about God or his ways. And I like Abraham, though, however. You know, he had a vested interest in Sodom. Why? Because he had family there. He had some blood there. Lot was as if it was his nephew, but it was much like his son, if you will. And he had family there. And I like the fact that he was an outsider looking in, saying, God, you know, would you go ahead and spare this city? You know what? And I can see why he stepped up. He says, I got my family there. You know, God, if you wipe it out, I'm going to lose my family and so forth. So Abraham steps in and says, hey, God, if you can find 50 righteous, would you go ahead and spare the city? He says, yeah, I'll do that. And Abraham couldn't find 50 righteous, and so he says, how about 45 righteous? If I could find 45 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah, would you go ahead and spare the city? Sure, I'll go ahead and do that. How about 40? And again, couldn't find 45, so how about 40? Would you spare it? Sure, couldn't find 40. How about 20? Would you spare it? Sure, couldn't find 20. How about 10? Would you go ahead and spare it? Sure. And Abraham couldn't even find 10 righteous people. And God said, you know, Abraham, enough's enough. This city is very, very wicked, and it's filthy, and it's vile, and Sodom and Gomorrah was not saved. The Bible says it turned into ashes, it turned into fire and brimstone. No one in the city, if you will, was willing to stand in the gap for the cause of Christ and to preach, except Abraham. He looked in and said, I will do everything I can. I'll do everything I can. He saw the concern, if you will, for that city. He saw his family there. But he also saw, I believe, the lost souls of men. They were going to die and go to hell. And I thank God that there was an Abraham that was concerned. And he did everything he could to save that city. Today, I see America is very much the same way. Today, I am pleading with God's people, let's be obedient, and I'm pleading with God's people, let's be concerned about this great country of ours. And by the way, it is great. I thank God, and I say it time and time again, I just said it just a few minutes ago, I thank God for the greatness of America. I thank God for the freedoms that we have in America, but we are dealing with a sin-sick society. If you look back in my short 41 years, if you will, look back and I can see the how we have waxed worse and worse and worse today from the time that I grew up, if you will, in the 70s. You know, whether we like it or not, America is very much in the same boat as Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm going to read a verse in 2 Peter. In 2 Peter, the Bible says this in verse number 6, chapter 2, verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample or an example unto those that should live ungodly. Because of the ungodliness, if you will, of Sodom and Gomorrah, it was destroyed by fire. And you know what? Sodom and Gomorrah was an example of how America, if you will, is following, if you will. America's following in the steps, if you will, of Sodom and Gomorrah. Hey, you know, America, Sodom and Gomorrah is an example. You know, America, if I could just shout out, if I could have a voice to all America today, I would say, hey, let's wake up this morning. Let's wake up this morning. Hey, if I could shout out to all of God's people this morning, I would say, hey, let's wake up and let's see the direction of our great country today. And let's do something we can about saving our great America today. You know, the politicians say that we're better than ever. The politicians say that things are so much better than it was a long time ago. Look at the internet. Has that really helped? Now, I know it's a tool. Okay, it's a tool and technology. You know, I don't understand. I can't even keep up with it. But look at the internet. You know, you can go places faster now. You know, if you want to be in Cambodia, you can just get online, go to Cambodia literally, and just see and Google Earth and all of this stuff. Amazing. Hey, you know what? Look at our cell phones. You know, I got thinking about this, and I have an old cell phone compared to some of you. My wife has a droid, you know what I mean? It does all that stuff, and you know what I'm talking about, but she has a droid, does all this fancy stuff, slide the screen all around, so forth. I have a little bit of an old one, but you know, you can go online with it, and you can take pictures with it, and so forth, and so on, and look at our satellite system, and you know, our world, if you will, has advanced in such a big way. You know what? The world says, boy, we're so much better. The politicians say, if you will, that it's so much better today than it ever was, if you will. You know, let me just say this, the brains of man, you know, the those that invented all these fancy things and all the technology, if you will, you know, it came from God. You know what? That's where our brains came from. It came from God. All the great inventions, all the great inventors of today, it came from God, though they deny it. But one day they will soon realize that God gave them the know-how, if you will, to invent these things. But scientists say we're better than ever. They spout off the theory of evolution, you know, saying that all this happened. No, in the beginning, God. That says it. The Bible says it. That settles it as far as I'm concerned. You know, this world didn't just happen. Some big bang theory did not go ahead and happen. That is out of the pit of hell. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And you can go on in. God spoke this world into existence. And you need to go ahead and believe that. You know, it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does in creation. You know, just to think that this all happened. You know, I thank God. Listen to me. I thank God that we have a God that knows exactly, you know, he created the birds. He created the beautiful trees. He created the blue sky. He created the green grass. He created all the beautiful animals. Took a little walk around the property here for a brief moment this morning. Heard the birds singing. You know who caused them birds to sing? God did. I thank God that we serve a God like that. But listen, you know what? Scientists say that we're better than ever. You know, they'll spout off their theories of evolution, but God's the one that went ahead and created all that we see. Some would say that society is very, very good and it's great, and we're better than ever in history. But I want to say that the Word of God teaches us that we're not. Turn to Romans chapter 1. I'm going to go ahead and read a few verses in Romans. You know what? And you can very well see the likenesses of these particular traits, I guess you could call them. I don't think they're not positive by any means. But you can go ahead and see where America is, if you will, according to the passage right here in Romans chapter 1. You know what? People say, politicians say we're better than ever. Scientists say we're better than ever. Society will say that we're better than ever. But God says that we're not. Hey, let's go ahead. Let's see what the Bible says in Romans chapter 1. Wherefore God also have gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one to another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And when, as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, it's a worthless or a rejects mind, if you will, that's what that means, to those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You know what? You just read all of them, if you will, and you can see that America is just about, if not fulfilling, every single one of them. You know, the backbiters, the haters of God. You can go anywhere, you know, and I'm a soul winner. I go out door knocking, and you know what? There's some haters of God. They prove it by maybe slamming a door in my face, by cursing me out, whatever the case may be. I'm not going to go ahead and be disobedient. I'm just going to keep on soul winning, amen? But you know, because there is somebody out there that does want to go ahead and hear it. But the truth of the matter is, you know, I see Sodom and Gomorrah very much alike. I see these traits right here, and America's just about fulfilled every trait, if you will. God says, the Word of God says that we're not any better than we were, if you will, of old. We're waxing worse and worse. Homosexuality is more commonplace and accepted as a regular lifestyle now. Look at New York. You know, by the way, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen and amen. Okay, and you just read Romans chapter 1, and if I had time to go through, and I'm not going to take time this morning to go through all of them, but you see the men leaving the natural use and women and talking about homosexuality there and so forth. You know what? We are waxing worse and worse. Homosexuality has become a regular lifestyle. Sex sins have increased ever so rapidly. No wonder why we have the STDs so high today. No wonder why there's so much AIDS out there and sexually transmitted diseases, because of our loose, immoral lifestyle. Marriage between man and women are laughed at. By the way, that's God's plan, amen? You know, marriage between man and woman is God's plan, and we need to go ahead and adhere to God's plan. Adultery, fornication, homosexuality is promoted all over the internet, all over Hollywood, and the checkout counters. You know, America is not what she was 235 years ago, I might add. I'm not trying to be a bit negative this morning, but I am a concerned Christian, and I'm a concerned preacher of the gospel, and it's time that God's people went ahead and rose up and stood for the Word of God, and stood for the ways of God, and got in their Bible and prayed and bowed their knee in prayer and said, God, please help us to see revival in this great land. And I do believe God can give us revival in this land. There's nothing wrong with this country that God cannot fix. But God's people's got to be willing to go ahead and step up. We'll see that in just a moment. There's nothing wrong with America that God can't fix. You know, some say we're better than ever with all the technology. The truth is, I'm not really all that impressed. I'm not all, you know, and I just barely get around on the computer. If you only knew, I mean, I am so computer illiterate. Whatever, that's fine. And whenever I get in trouble, I thank God we have some computer literate guys around here that, hey, I need help, you know, and so forth and so on. But I'm not really all that impressed with how far man, if you will, has taken us. You know, I'm not trying to be a bit negative on this point, but when it comes to our country, I don't believe that we're improving today. Nor do I believe that we are evolving. I do believe, however, we are degenerating. Americans, there's too many Americans today that can't read. There's too many Americans today that always look for the easy way out. There's too many Americans today that won't work. They're lazy. You know, they have a hard time getting up in the morning. You know, punch that time clock. They're always late or whatever for work or for school or their responsibilities. There's too many Americans today that are lazy. Too many Americans today that can't write. There's too many Americans today that do not know English. English, by the way, that is a language of America. If you're Spanish, great. I don't mind learning a little bit of Spanish. I know a little bit of Spanish, amen? Taco, burrito, enchilada, amen and amen. All the important things, all right? But the truth of the matter is, you know what? English is the language of America. But there's too many Americans that don't know English. There's too many Americans that will not care for their children and teach them the ways of God. You know what? We have a responsibility. You have a child in your home. You have a responsibility by God to go ahead and teach them the Word of God. You have a responsibility by God to get them to the house of God. You have a responsibility by God to teach them. Hey, we need to be busy reaching the next generation, but we're not going to do it if we're just sitting back and enjoying our own life and doing what we want to do and living the way we want to live. Hey, it's time for us, for God's people, to get focused in upon what it is that God wants us to do. You realize my family is my ministry. It's my ministry. You know what? And if I don't go ahead, you know, in one big reason, along with God, don't misunderstand me, but one big reason why I'll go ahead and stand strong, I'll preach strong, and I want to keep on preaching and doing what I'm going to do and keep on sticking with the old King James Bible and so forth, because I have some kids in my home I'm responsible for. If they start seeing me kind of shake my faith a little bit, start kind of watering down a little bit, you know what? I'm not going to do one bit of good for my children. Not one. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But too many Americans won't take care of their children and teach them the ways of God. Too many won't pay their bills. Too many won't take the responsibility for their own actions. Too many will not go ahead and honor contracts. Too many will not tell the truth. They'll speak lies, if you will. Too many will not stand for righteousness and right living. Too many will not read and live by the Bible. Too many Christians or Americans will not honor the Lord. They're so wrapped up in self and not willing to do what it is that God wants. You know what, Mama, Daddy? God's will ought to be the most important thing in your life. By the way, God's will for your life is not going to be God's will for my life. God's will for my life is to go ahead and live here in Carver, Massachusetts for such a time as this. Pastor the Great Faith Baptist Church of Carver, Massachusetts. Be a husband to my beautiful wife, Kathy Weeks. Be a children to daddy, if you will, to my wonderful children, Courtney, Brittany, Cody, and Abby. And also be a pet owner of my dog, Chopper. Amen and amen. My big old dog, if you've ever seen him. But that's my responsibility. That's God's will for my life. But you know what? God has a will for your life, but there's too many of us that we're just too willing, we're too lazy, if you will, to go ahead and do our own thing. We don't want to take time spend with our kids teaching them the Word of God, teaching them what is really important. We're losing the next generation because of our laziness. We're losing it. I love America. And God's people, we are, as this preacher and as this Christian, is concerned for this great country. God's people too also ought to be concerned for this great country. We're too wrapped up, if you will, in ourselves and in things. You know what? Listen, I'm not opposed to stuff. I'm not opposed to having a snowmobile or a kayak. I love kayaking. I'm not opposed to going fishing. I'm not opposed to going out on a boat. I'm not opposed to doing some traveling. I'm not opposed to all that. But you know what? If it gets in the way of us serving God, that's where the problem is. That's where the problem is. You know what? Too many of us, we're just getting too lax today. We just can't keep on keeping on. The truth of the matter is not just affecting you. It's affecting those that are under you. Hey, it's time that we go ahead and take a stand. It's time that we go ahead and do what God wants us to do and just simply follow the will of God for our lives. Again, God's will for you is going to be different than mine. Mine's going to be different than yours. But let's be busy doing the will of God, and it'll help change America. The Bible says in Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. You know, America, if I could have a horn and just talk to all of America today, I would say America, payday's coming. We have just about forgotten. The Bible says, I read again, the wicked shall be turned into hell and the nations that forget God. Hey, you know what, America? We better get our act together. I almost feel our nation has just about forgotten God, but I will say this. I thank God that we are a church that has not forgotten God. I thank God that you could go state to state of this great United States of America. You can go to some countries today. I think Kevin Wynn down in Mexico. I'm thinking of Courtney Godso in the Philippines and many, many missionaries today. Of course, they're in different time zones and so forth, but they went ahead, they met together to worship today in the world. There are some places in this world, and there's some churches right now in this great United States of America that have not forgotten God. And I thank God for these many years since 1989. We are a church that preaches truth. We are a church that preaches the old King James Bible, the ways of God, and we will not waver. We will not back down. We will keep on pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant our feet on higher ground. We're going to go ahead and stay focused upon God. We're going to stay focused upon soul winning. We're going to stay focused on reaching this world for the cause of Christ. And I thank God that we have not, and we will not forget who God is here at the Faith Baptist Church. But our nation is getting to a point where it's forgetting God. I ask, what will it take to go ahead and turn our face back to God again? Will it take another terrorist attack? Boy, it's amazing how spiritual, so to speak, we got for just a little window of time around 9/11, huh? It's amazing. But now it seems like that's all brushed under the carpet and so forth. But what's it going to go ahead and take for us to go ahead and realize where we are in America today? Another catastrophe? I don't know. Can America be saved? If I went again by my reasoning, I'd say, well, what a difficult task. But we serve a God of the impossible. And I still do believe in this great nation. I love America, the greatest nation in all the world. I pray for our country and our leaders, and we should. I long for revival. I long for God's hand of blessing to be stayed upon this great country of ours. And I long for another generation to be reached for the cause of Christ. Can America be saved? This is the title of my message. And the truth of the matter is, if it's going to be saved, it's going to take a few of these elements that I'm going to go ahead and give you quickly this morning. Number one, America will not be saved without prayer. Again, I say, America will not be saved without prayer. In Isaiah chapter 64, the scripture says this, the Bible says this. In verse number 6 and 7, the scripture says, but we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. You can see God's judgment to Israel there, and we can see the same judgment is going to happen to America. You know what? We will not be saved. America will not be saved if we don't get back to prayer. If we don't get back to fervent prayer, if we don't get back to bowing our knees in prayer, if we don't get back to calling out and begging God, if you will, for this great country and interceding, just as Abraham did. Abraham, I could see his sense of urgency. I could see his desperation. God, will you go ahead? If I could find 10, I could see he wanted to do everything he could to try to save that city. You know, that's what we need today. We need some Abrahams who will be willing to go ahead and stand in the gap. We need some Abrahams that will go ahead and intercede and bow in prayer for this great country of ours. Hey, she can be saved, I believe, if we go ahead and call upon God again. If we go ahead and get on our knees again. If we pray for our leadership. You say, well, I don't like my leadership. You know what? We need to pray for them. You may not agree with policy, but you know what? We are obligated as God's people to go ahead and pray for our leadership. It doesn't matter who it is, the president, the governor, the congressman, all the leaders of this great country, all the leaders of this great state. You'd be amazed. You'd be amazed. You know, God has the ability to penetrate the heart of our president. God has the ability to penetrate the heart of our governor. God has the ability to penetrate the heart of all of our congressmen and our leaders. But you know what? If we just stop dissing them and get on our knees and pray for them, you'd be amazed. You'd be amazed. God has the ability to go ahead and change your heart. But you know what? But I find, and you say, are you for our president? That's not the issue right now. The issue is I am required by God to pray for my government. I am required by God to pray for my president. You know what? And I believe if God's people would just go ahead every single day I pray for our president. Every single day I pray for our governor. Every single day I pray for our leaders, other leaders, if you will, our United States Congress and so forth. Every single day, because it's going to take prayer to change the heart of this great nation. It's time to go ahead and pray. You know, do I believe America can be saved? I believe it can be with prayer. I believe we can see revival with a fervent prayer, a deep, sincere, emotion, impassioned prayer, a cry out to God. Oh, God, please save our nation. Oh, God, please salvage our nation for another generation. Oh, God, please do something great in our nation. Oh, God, infiltrate your spirit all across this great nation of ours. Hey, you know what? We need faithful prayer. That's everyday prayer. That's a not put it off type of prayer. Every single day, the Christian bowing their knees and praying for their wives and praying for their husbands and praying for their children and praying for the next generation and praying for this great country of ours. Faithful prayer. We also need family prayer. Boy, you know what? You boys and girls, you young people, you know, if you can go ahead and talk, you ought to be praying. Amen. You teenagers, if you can go ahead and talk, you know what, you've got all the chit-chat you want on the cell phone and so forth. If you can go ahead and talk for a long time to some friend on the cell phone, let me tell you something, teenagers, you have the ability to talk to Almighty God. You know, you teenagers, you young people ought to learn how to pray. Boy, you ought to have that everyday walk with God. I can't say it enough. You know, I'd be your best friend if I could get you teenagers just every day. Take 5 to 10 minutes at least to start and take 2 or 3 minutes in prayer and take 4 or 5 minutes in reading the Word of God. It'll change your life. It'll change your life. But you know what? Leaders, moms and dads, you know what? Why would we expect our children to do things that we're not doing? You know what, moms and dads, you want a great spirit in your home. You know, open up the Word of God. You be a Christian mom and daddy. You have a time where you'll walk with God, that you're reading your Bible. You know, I say time and time again, it doesn't bother me, and I don't do it for show, but my kids well understand that their dad walks with God. I had one of my daughters, and I'm not boasting this, but one of my daughters one time, just she said she stood outside my door there one time. She says, "Dad, I just heard you praying. Heard you praying this morning." It didn't bother me one bit. You say you do it for show? No, I didn't know she was there. But you know what? That leaves an impact on her heart. You know what? Listen to me. Boy, we need to be a praying people. Moms and dads, you ought to be a praying parent. Teenager, you ought to be a praying teenager. Hey, you know what? America can be saved, I believe, with prayer. You know, America can be saved with prophets and preachers. That's preaching the cross of Christ. That's the only hope. The Bible says in Ezekiel 22:30, very familiar verse, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." God was looking just for a man. Someone that would just go ahead and fill in the gap and preach and take a stand for the cause of Christ and live morally and live pure. But the sad part about it, he found none. But you know what? America could be saved with the old-fashioned preaching. America can be saved with preachers. America can be saved with churches that'll go ahead and keep the cause of Christ strong and sure and focused, and keeping the music and singing the songs of Zion and preaching the old word of God, and keeping preaching, if you will, in the forefront, and keeping preaching hot, if you will, in the church house. You know what? This is a church that never will you see a sign outside with summer hours. Amen. It's happened way too many times in our independent Baptist churches. That's why they're not independent fundamental Baptists anymore, because they decided to loosen up a little bit, and they put out this little sign, 9 o'clock. Come for 9 o'clock coffee and social hour. We might get a little preaching and whatever, but summer hours. Not here. Not here. But you know what? Preaching needs to be important. Yeah, listen, you know, I know preaching can be tough. You know, and by the way, you know, I say this time and time again, preacher, you knew. No, I did not know. Some people have this attitude, the preacher has this little notebook, and he's got his little spyglass, and oh, yeah, boy, I got all kinds of fodder to go ahead and preach this week. You think I have that? If you think I have that kind of time, there's something wrong. You know what? It's the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God, you know, knows. And he knows that he uses, if you will, the tool of preaching to go ahead and penetrate the heart to help get you right with God and help keep you right with God. And we could be saved through preaching and through preachers. Nobody seems to care, if you will, today about taking God's call seriously. God was looking for a man. Men who will take the call of God and run with it and not fumble it when they see something better come along. Thank God we have a few God-called preachers, young men, if you will, in this church. And I thank God for that. And I just charge you, and I want you young men, if you will, listen, I'm not going to make you be the preacher. You got to go ahead and you got to follow God. But if that's what God called you to do, you run with it. Don't you back down. Don't you look at all the other choices. If God, you know, the greatest thing that you can do is just simply follow the will of God for your life. Every child, boy, if you just decide, I'm going to obey my mama and my daddy and obey the preaching of the word of God and obey the Holy Spirit moving in my life. Every single child, you just decide, I'm going to obey the will of God for my life. It'll change your life. You teenagers, you just follow the will of God for your life. It'll go ahead and change your life. Hey, mama and daddy. Hey, church member, you just go ahead and do what God wants you to do. It'll change your life. We need some preachers today. We need people that'll, God's looking for a man. And you know, I'm not necessarily just saying those that'll just stand behind a pulpit, but God's looking for someone who just stand in the gap for their family. Hey, you dads, you know, you have a responsibility to stand in the gap for your family. You be the godly man. You be the godly leader in that home. And you say, this is what we're going to do. Thus saith the Lord, I'm going to follow the will of God. I'm going to follow that book, the Bible, and God's going to be first and foremost in my house. You want a peace and harmony in your home, keep God's center point. You keep God's center point, you'll have a very peaceful home. I promise you that. You keep him first place. But God's calling some men, if you will, who stand in the gap. But we also need preachers today who preach against sin, the sin of this nation, and win the lost. We need churches that'll go ahead and stand and be the way church used to be. Amen? Not all these little fancy, you know, changing everything around, got all the drums and stuff like that, and just having a little glass pulpit, a little sermonette. No, we need to go ahead. We need churches today that'll go ahead and stand for truth and stand for the old time religion. Preaching the old time religion and not looking for a new way. Who will go ahead and preach against sin? Who will go ahead and stand for Christ? Who will? How shall they hear without a preacher? The Bible says in Romans chapter 10. We need preachers who will not change. We need some of you young men, and I'm just kind of reiterating here, some of you young men, that you know you've been called to preach and you've testified of it. Not because you're a preacher called preacher, or mom and daddy, God called you. You know, we need some young men that just say, you know what? I'm sticking with the call of God in my life. You know what? America needs you. Hey, Christian, mama, Christian daddy, Christian grandma, Christian grandpa, church member, America needs you today. Would you stand in the gap? Would you go ahead and take a stand? Hey, America will not be saved without soul winning. Bible says, go ye into all the world, Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world, preach a gospel to every creature. We have a call that needs to be obeyed. Curtis Hudson used to say, the only alternative to soul winning is disobedience to Christ. We all, not just the preacher, but all of God's people have a command to go out into all the world and preach a gospel to every creature. We need to be reproducing ourselves. If we're going to save this nation, we need to be busy following the call of God. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, the Bible says. We need to go out, grab some tracts, and knock on some doors. Hand some tracts out as you're walking down the street. Hand some tracts out as you're going through a toll booth. Leave some tracts at a restroom somewhere as you go through and so forth. I leave tracts pretty much all over the place if I have them on me. And it's a good habit to carry them with you everywhere you go. But hand some tracts out. You know, I know some of you go ahead and hand them out in your bills, amen? Boy, the first thing that your bill collector sees is that tract in the mail. Are you 100% sure? Oh, what's this all about? But you know what? We all have the call and the responsibility to go soul winning. We need to be reproducing ourselves. We need to go out there and tell people. You know what? The Bible says preach. You know what? We need preachers, not necessarily just those that fill the pulpit, preachers that are just take a New Testament and some tracts and go out and just tell people about Jesus. Why don't you learn to be a soul winner? Say, I don't know how. Then you go with somebody who knows. If you're a lady, we'll have someone, some lady go out, and they'll show you how to be a soul winner. I think one of the greatest ways to learn how to be a soul winner is you go with somebody who knows and learn from them. Just go and do it. You know, one of the greatest things you can do, you want to lead somebody to Christ, just tell the lost person what Jesus did for you at salvation. Realize, man, you were a sinner. And because of your sin, you're on your way to hell, the Bible says. But Jesus, he paid the price. And all you had to do is simply open your heart, ask Christ to come into your heart and save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, grab a track and, you know, it's got the plan of salvation in that track and so forth. And say, hey, you know what? Sit down. Let me show you what the Word of God says about salvation. Hey, you know what? Carry some tracks. Let's tell people, hey, America will not be saved if we don't get busy reproducing ourselves. I love America. We all, as God's people, we have a responsibility to reach this great nation for Christ. America won't be saved without purity. You know, the Bible says, Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You know, for many years, America has led the way in about every area financially. It's not anymore. As far as morals, now we're leading the way of immorality. Sad, but we're leading the way of immorality. You know, just about every area we used to lead, but one area I want to zoom in on this morning is a lack of purity. Several years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago now, it was these teenage girls in Gloucester High School, I think it was. They had this pregnancy pact. Doing everything they can to try to get pregnant around the same time or whatever. Before marriage, by the way, against God. You know, whatever happened to having a purity pact? Whatever happened to just Young people, you know what? The truth of it, you know why? Because it's the music that's out there. It's the television we watch. It's all the sex scenes, if you will, out there. And it's pumping our minds, and it is fueling, if you will. I'll be very careful. It's fueling our flesh, and it's no wonder why we're so immoral today. You can't even walk down a checkout counter anymore without putting blinders on. You can't even walk into a store and do your grocery shopping. You can't even watch a whole ball game. You've got to go ahead and shut off the commercials because they're just lewd commercials. America's not going to be saved without getting back to purity. You know, moms and dads, we need to teach our kids the importance of purity. You know, preachers need to go ahead and take a stand and preach against immorality. You know, we're passing laws to support gay marriage. We talked about it, New York. There's like 6 or 7 states now that support gay marriage. I thought Maine went ahead and passed a law, but they overturned it recently. Thank God for Maine. Yeah, they overturned it. The people spoke. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? But we're supporting just an alternate lifestyle. We're just accepting it and so forth. And we're passing laws on gay marriage and so forth. And God calls it an abomination. It's an abomination. Don't forget, God went ahead and destroyed Sodom for these kinds of sins. Pornography is rampant. Again, everywhere you go. You got to be very careful with the internet today. You know, parents, you know, it'd be a good idea to supervise your kids on the internet. Amen. Parents, it'd be good for you to go ahead and supervise what your kids are looking at on the internet and so forth, and it's a very good practice. Make sure that the computer is in maybe in the living room and not in their own room and so forth. It's be good for you to go ahead and supervise what they're. And you know what? You ought to do everything you can. They have Safe Eyes. They have all kinds of these protectors out there. I don't know all the names, but you ought to do everything you can to go ahead and protect your children and yourself from all this junk that's on the internet. It's everywhere you go. Your bookstores, it's just everywhere you go. The morals of our country are literally going down the tubes. And then last here, America won't be saved without just simply keeping God first. You know what America needs? We need to keep God number one. Christian, you keep God number one in your family, in your life. You keep him first and foremost. Before you get your day going too far, boy, you get in the Word of God. You make him first. You talk to him in prayer. You read his Word. You get yourself to the church house. Boy, you know, I long for a nation that will just get back to putting God number one. I believe he was at one time, because I don't think we would enjoy all of these freedoms we have today had God not somewhere along the way been the focal point. But you know what? Keep God number one. You know, you want real freedom? Make him first place. Make his book first, the first book, if you will, that you read, and follow his ways. We need to recognize God's goodness. We need to recognize who he is. Have a reverence for God, meaning an understanding that God is awesome. You realize how awesome God is? I mean, stop and think. Shut everything out. Forget the fact that there's hamburgers and hot dogs out there. Forget the fact that you may go home and maybe watch a sports program or whatever and so forth. Not against that. But just stop. Shut everything else out. And just stop and think about how good God is. You know, God just wants you to pay attention to him. You know, God longs for you to spend time with him. He saved you to go ahead and glorify him. But oftentimes we find ourselves doing everything we can to glorify us and make sure we're comfortable. But you know, it's time for God's people. It's time for God's people to go ahead and look at things in perspective and realize why it is we have the freedoms we have. Why it is that we get to go ahead and meet in a place like this openly. I said earlier, I could tell you of some men that would love to meet freely in a place like this, but they can't today. They can't. Our nation, I believe, can be saved by prayer. I know it will be saved if we get busy telling people about Jesus again. I know it can be saved if we get back to purity. and pure living. I know it can be saved if we get back to the old-fashioned preaching and producing preachers, and not necessarily just producing preachers for the pulpits, but getting some lay preachers, if you will. I know about men and women that necessarily will not stand behind a pulpit that'll preach the gospel to every creature. Go out there and go soul winning and telling people about Jesus Christ. I know we can go ahead and see our America saved if we start reproducing ourselves and getting back to the preaching of the Word of God and producing some soul winners and producing some preachers, some male men preachers, if you will, for the pulpit and getting back to putting God first. Alex de Tocqueville wrote this statement, if you will, about the workings of democracy in the early part of the 19th century. And in order to understand America's success, he wrote this. Now, he's a French statesman that wrote this. I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her commodious harbors and her ample rivers, and it was not there. I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her fertile fields and boundless forests, and it was not there. I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her riches, in her rich mines, in her vast world commerce, and it was not there. I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her public school system and her institutions of learning, and it was not there. I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her Democratic Congress, in her matchless Constitution, and it was not there. It was not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness that I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. A French statesman who studied the workings of our democracy realized that it was not the public school system, it was not the commerce, it was not all the fertile fields, but when he entered into the churches and saw the pulpits aflame with righteousness, he then realized the greatness of America. Yeah, I believe America is great. I love America. And I tried not to be a doom and gloom kind of preacher, but I did kind of give a little bit of remedy of some way this morning. I tried to give some sort of remedy of some way this morning that I believe that we can preserve the greatness of America. I believe America can be saved, but we need to be busy getting on our knees in prayer. You know, the Bible says, and it's quoted all so often, but it's a wonderful verse, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's a promise by God Almighty. 2 Chronicles 7:14. You know what? If we're gonna keep America great, then we as God's people, we shoulder the responsibility to go ahead and get our hearts right with God. We repent of our sins. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Stop thinking about you being so great and so high in mind, but humble yourselves and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, then God says, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. I believe that. If we're going to see a revival in this country, it's going to be us getting our hearts right and being obedient to the Word of God and the commands of God. If we're going to go ahead and reach people effectively for the cause of Christ, we've got to have a pure heart. You know, that verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14, takes care of a couple of my points this morning. If my people, which are called by my name, prayer, and turn from your wicked ways, in other words, keep God first, then America, I believe, can be salvaged. Yes, I'm concerned this morning. The reason why I preach what I preach this morning is because I'm greatly concerned about America, the land that I love. Christian, I desire for you to be concerned. I ask you and I charge you this morning, will you pray for America? Hey, moms and dads, will you pray for your kids and teach and train your kids? Will you bow a knee in prayer, in fervent prayer? Will you be like an Abraham and strive to help save this nation? Will you be busy going out telling people about Jesus Christ? Will you be faithful to church attendance? Will you be the kind of good, godly Christian that God wants you to be? If we would see some salt in us, then we can see some greatness again in this great country. Will you go ahead and be the kind of Christian you ought to be? Maybe here today, I didn't say a whole lot about it. But maybe here today, you don't know Jesus as Savior. Won't you make today that day of salvation? Maybe here today you say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I want to know. I want someone to show me from the Word of God how I can be saved. I can't be a part in helping this great nation. I can't be a part in fervent prayer. I can't be a part in all that until I get my heart right with God, until I get saved and realize that I'm on my way to hell, but Jesus, He paid the price, and I need to call upon Him. And I want someone to show me from the Word of God how I can be saved this morning. And if you're like that today, you don't know Christ as Savior, I encourage you at the invitation time, won't you walk down this aisle, you shake my hand, say, preacher, I want to be saved today. And we'll have someone show you from the Word of God how you can be saved. Christian, more than anything today, I admonish you, let's be busy doing what it is that God wants us to do. The will of God for your life is different than mine. Mine's different than yours. Let's be busy doing it. Dad, you've got a great responsibility. Let's be busy doing what we're supposed to do. Mom, you've got a great responsibility. Let's be busy doing what we know we're supposed to do. Church member, you've got a great responsibility. Let's be busy doing what we know that God has called us to do. Our Heavenly Father, we do love you, Lord. God, the very best I could this morning, I try to convey the message that you want me to preach. And God, I do ask you, Lord, that our hearts, if there's someone on the sound of my voice, maybe there's a Christian on the sound of my voice, that maybe their heart's not in tune with you. Maybe they've wandered far away, but they know they need to come on home, and they know they need to clean up their act, if you will, and they know they're not doing their part to help salvage this great nation simply because maybe it's their lifestyle. And I pray, dear God, that they would just decide today, I'm going to go ahead and get some things right, and I want to do right, I want to live right, I want to be what it is that God wants me to be. God, I love this country, and Lord, more than anything, I want to see a revival sweep across this land. I want to see more people saved. Lord, if you tarry, I want to see more people saved, and I want to see families changed. I want to see boys' and girls' lives changed. I want teenagers' lives to be changed, Lord. And I pray, dear God, that your people today would be concerned like an Abraham, I think, was. God, would you go ahead and salvage this city for 10? I think he was in desperation, longing to try to win people to Christ. I believe he wanted to try to reach out to people and win them, Lord. I pray that we would be so desirous to do the same thing. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe hear under the sound of my voice, say, preacher, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I won't call you by name. I will not go ahead and point you out, but you want me to pray for you. Say, preacher, God spoke to my heart this morning. Here's my hand. Would you please pray for me? Here's my hand. Anybody else? You may put your hands down. Maybe you're under the sound of my voice. Say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved. Again, I will not embarrass you. I will not point you out in any way, shape, or form. But you say, preacher, if I was to die today, I do not know 100% sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I want to know. Would you please pray with me about the matter? Again, I won't point you out, but I do want the opportunity and the privilege to pray for you. Here's my hand. Anybody under the sound of my voice, you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven, but please pray for me. Our Heavenly Father, you saw the hands, you know the hearts, and I pray, dear God, your will would be done this morning in this invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Let's stand to our feet. The pianist is going to go ahead and play All to Jesus, I Surrender. If you stepped out, maybe you raised your hand. Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but maybe there's some things that you know you need to do. Christian, maybe there's some things, some areas in your life that you know you need to get your heart in tune with God again. Again, I'll be praying for these. Brother Ron will take a few of these at this time as well and pray. Pray for the food as well. And again, if you can hang out for the afternoon, it'll be a wonderful day. And thank you for being in the house of the Lord this morning, Brother Ron.
Let's pray. Dear Lord God, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to your house, to the church, Lord, and hear your word preached. Thank you for your word. And Lord, thank you that, Lord, there is still hope through you for this country, Lord. And I just thank you for all that you do. And Lord, help us to do what we need to do as well for you, Lord. And Lord, I bring these requests before you for Yulia, for Unspoken, for her housing and transportation, Lord, and for Carol with her brother-in-law with the cancer, Lord, and Brother Brick and others that we know that are sick, Lord. I pray you just heal them, and Lord, have your hand in each situation, Lord. Pray for this lady Karen's salvation and for our Karen Silva's health as well, Lord. And thank you for the reports that came back there, Lord. Pray for Dave's mom as she's getting ready to have surgery. And Lord, I thank you for our preacher who's, Lord, I just thank you for him. And you just be with him and strengthen him and help him in all that he does. And thank you for all that he does around here. And Lord, for his praying for us. And Lord, I thank you for him. Pray for Penny's and Sean's surgery coming up shortly, Lord. And pray for Doreen and Brother Rich as they're going through some difficult times, Lord. Lord, I just thank you that we do get to gather here together, Lord, in your name. And Lord, we get to spend time here together and before we go back out into the world for the week, Lord. I pray you just be with us as we fellowship together. Thank you for this meal, and please bless it to our bodies, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.